بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 4th of May in the year 2021 alhamdulillah we moved on to the 22nd blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan And I've reached verse 75 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 77. So verse 75. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And why should you not fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of those who being weak or ill-treated, i.e. and oppressed, men, women and children, whose cry is, O our Lord, rescue us from this town, whose people are oppressors, and raise for us from you one who will protect, and raise for us from you one who will help. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning one of the reasons why jihad is obligated upon the male folk, and leaving aside the deen, the logic is, even from the human point of view, the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of justice, the cause of the oppressed. So in this verse Allah ta'ala is mentioning that these people were oppressed throughout the world, men, women and children, and they're making dua for help. So logically, there needs to be somebody there to aid them. And this is what the verse is here referring to. But looking at it from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Makkah was won again, our beloved messenger's life sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, you can mention 14 things. Number one, they were threatened. Number two, they were mocked. Number three, they were assaulted. Number four, they were insulted. Number five, they were beaten. Number six, those weaker were put into chains. Number seven, they were put into prison. Number eight, boycott took place. Number nine, they were shut out of trade. Number ten, business. They were even boycotted from social intercourse. Number 12, they were not even allowed to buy their own food. Number 13, they were not allowed to perform their religious duties. And the persecution was redoubled for the believing slaves amongst the Meccan aristocracy. Their cry for a protector and helper from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was answered when Muhammad Al-Mustafa brought peace again to the holy city. So think about that. Allah Ta'ala set the precedent in Makkah. In Makkah, all of this was happening. So when Rasulullah himself had to migrate, he came back just 7 years late. And he opened the city up to peace. Now it's called Hadhal Baladil Amin, the city of peace. And this is just a blueprint with regards to the world over. So now if you look at the holy verse, it mentions the weak. But turning to another passage which helps to explain. So just a few verses forward, verse 97 and 98. It mentions there, in a nutshell, that certain people will be punished by the angels when they die. And they will say, wasn't the earth vast enough for you? And they will say, we were oppressed. The angels say, wasn't the earth vast enough for you? Then it says in verse 98, there's an exception, illal mustad'afina, except those who are weak, men, women and children who have no means or power to direct their way. For these there is hope for forgiveness. So who's being referred to here? This is very important to highlight. Some people are being referred to here and they will say, we were oppressed. And the angels are punishing them. This wasn't the earth vast enough for you. So here there's a few reports to explain. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ad-Dahaq rahmatullah alayhi said, this verse 97 was revealed about some munafiqs who did not join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but remained in Makkah. They did not migrate with him. Then they went out with the idolaters in Makkah for the battle of Badr. They were then killed amongst those who were killed. This verse was revealed about them. So what happened? In Makkah, Rasulullah migrated. Some so-called Muslims, they didn't migrate. Then what happened? The battle of Badr took place and the kuffar took them along thinking that they were amongst them. Then in the crossfire they were killed. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in verse 97? When the angels take the souls of those who die in sin against their souls, they will say, in what plight were you? They will say, we were weak, we were oppressed, we were in the earth. The angels say, was not the earth of Allah ta'ala spacious enough for you to move yourselves away? Such men will find their abode in hell. What an evil refuge. So what happened? By not migrating, when they had the ability to migrate, they ended up dying in unbelief. So Allah Ta'ala is highlighting here the great oppression that leads to ultimately unbelief. Astaghfirullah. But then the exception is made in verse 98. There were some who couldn't migrate. Allah Ta'ala mentions them. Those who were really like the weak, the children, the women, they wanted to but they couldn't. Allah Ta'ala will have mercy upon them. So the exception was made here. Now there's reports, and these reports show the enormity of the crime. Imam Tahawi in his Al-Mushkil 8-274 with the Sahih Hadith transmission, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I disown any Muslim who lives with the polytheists. They should not even see each other's fires. Subhanallah. I disown any Muslim who lives with the polytheists. They should not even see each other's fires. Look how amazing. The Prophet said, because I've got nothing to do with Muslims who are living with the kuffar. I've got nothing to do with them. Because you shouldn't even see each other's fires. A second report. In Abu Dawud and Ibn Kathir, Samura ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever mingles with the idolater and resides with them, he is just like them. Whoever mingles with the idolater and resides with them, he is just like them. So all of this is highlighting that the Muslims need to have their own homeland, i.e. a land of peace and security. And if you refuse to go to the land of peace and security, the threats are mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question, is there a land of security and peace? No. Right? There's no Islamic state anywhere in the whole world. But if it does, and you got the opportunity, you have to go. So now, without going too much into it, what are the genuine reasons we can stay with the kuffar, even when there is an Islamic state? And the simple response is that you are spreading the message. If you are spreading the message to them, you have a genuine reason to be here. And this shows the utter importance of Dawah. Because think about it, we're all living in non-Muslim lands. What's our excuse? So we go, economic reasons. That's got nothing to do with the deen. Right? If you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the non-Muslim lands, think about it. Quran and Sunnah is mentioning how great that crime is. So the Prophet even said, you shouldn't even see each other's fires. Imam Malik, one of his rulings was, if a Muslim is killed in the land of the non-Muslims, there is no qisas, there is no blood money. So imagine, you know, if you're living with, and if there's a crossfire, you get killed, because there's no, because what were you doing living amongst them? You know, increasing their numbers. And again, the blueprint for this is Makkah. Think about that, they stayed in Makkah, Rasulullah migrated, and they were using excuses. No, if I stay at this, that, and eventually what happened? They went on to Badr and they were killed. So here, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said that radiyallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari, I and my mother were from the mustad'afin, i.e. those who were weak and ill-treated. So Ibn Abbas was 3 years old when Rasulullah migrated to Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, myself and my mother, Abbas's wife, we were amongst those excused, because Abbas had a role to play in Makkah. He was a double agent. The Prophet actually appointed it. So he was saying that, you know, if you want an example of who was given an excuse, we were given an excuse. I was a child and my mother had to stay with her husband. I, my father, Abbas radiallahu anhu. Verse 76. Those who believe fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who do not believe fight in the cause of Taghut. So fight you against the friends of Shaitan. Feeble indeed is the cunning of Shaitan. So here again, note Allah Ta'ala is telling you how pure the deed of jihad is. The jihad, like I mentioned yesterday, is literally to save your enemies from the fire. Which battle on the surface of the earth are the warring faction concerned about their enemies? All they're bothered about is annihilating them, subduing them. But the jihad that takes place is to save them from the fire. There's the purity. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, but those who are unbelievers, they fight for taghut. They don't have pure intentions. All over the world, you get, you know, so-called causes for armies to enter lands. And then you find out underneath there's some other reason that they've entered the land. So know the difference between the purity of jihad and the impurity of the unbelievers. Then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, something very interesting. إِنَّا قَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ قَانَ دَعِيفًا. Qaid means secret plotting, not an open. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ قَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَدْلِيلٍ. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the masters of the elephant? Did he not foil their secret plan? So what was the secret plan of Abraha? His open plan was, you've desecrated my church, we're going to desecrate the Kaaba. But really he wanted the trade route. So Allah Ta'ala highlights that in Surah Fil. He goes, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبَّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ قَيْدَهُمْ فِي. He disrupted their secret planning. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here about the shaitan, that shaitan's secret planning is weak. You can see straight through it if you've got any sense. And this is why you notice on the media, you know, the people object to these so-called, they go, look, this isn't, you're going into the land, you're taking the oil. And yet they're coming out with, no, we're liberating the people from the tyranny. So that's the qaid Allah Ta'ala is telling you. But now what does Allah Ta'ala say about shaitan? He's weak. So there's another passage which you need to look at. Surah 12 verse 28. Surah Yusuf. Surah 12 verse 28. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there that there's somebody who plans and their plan is mighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the women, إِنَّ قَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Truly mighty is your secret planning. So now what's mentioned here, direct tafsir, in Qurtubi and Marif al-Quran, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the secret planning of women is stronger than the secret planning of shaitan. Because about the shaitan, and then the Prophet recited this verse, verse 76, إِنَّ قَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ قَانَ دَعِيفًا. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but about women, he said, إِنَّ قَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. Truly mighty is your snare. So think about that. Nations have fallen over women. You know, you don't need to go too deep into it. Forget about human, you know, households. Nations have fallen over women. So what does that tell you? Allah Ta'ala has made them the fairer sex, but He's given them strength in other ways. And Allah Ta'ala is warning the male folk about this, because there's something about them. And what's the context here? The context here is how quick was Zuleika when she tried to seduce Yusuf to twist it. She ripped his shirt from the back, gets to the door opens by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look how quickly she twists it. He says, what would you do to a servant who's trying to seduce your wife? So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam goes, your wife was trying to seduce me. And then we know what happened. It was the shirt. Because if the shirt is ripped at the front, he was trying to seduce her. If his shirt is ripped at the back, she was trying to seduce him. And what happened? The shirt was ripped at the back. And then what did Aziz say? Inna qayda kunna azim. Your secret planning is very strong. Allah quotes him, meaning that's true. Even though he's quoted it, I verify that. So now, about the females, this is another interesting thing. There's a report. So this narration is recorded in Ibn Abi Dunya in his Maqaid al-Shaytan, 59-37, Tablisi Iblis, page 75. Hassan ibn Salih, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I heard that the Shaytan said, addressing women, you are half my army. You are my arrow, with which I never miss. You are the one I entrust with my secrets. You are my messengers. Somebody says, imagine you take the word women out of that report. Somebody goes, do you know who half the army of Shaitan is? Do you know he has an arrow with which he never misses? A weapon that he hardly misses? Do you know that he trusts somebody completely with his secrets? And they are his messengers. And who are they? Women. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, the greatest fitna that I leave after me is women. Meaning I will protect you. But after me, he goes, this is the greatest fitna. And how many times do people even say, because if it wasn't for women, I would be on the straight path, I would be an awliya, and they come out with these statements. But we know that that's a genuine statement. That's why marriage is encouraged greatly in the deen, and also to fulfill, otherwise you're in trouble. Look at the Christian world. They thought they didn't need women. And look at the mess they're in. Astaghfirullah. So here, Allah Ta'ala mentions that this is the planning, the feeble planning of the shaitan. Verse 77. Have you not turned your vision to those who were told to hold back their hands and establish the salat and give the zakat? But when at length the order for fighting was issued to them, behold, a section of them feared men, or even more than they should have feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, O our Lord, why have you ordered us to fight? Would you not grant us respite to our natural term? Say, short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is the best for those who do excellence. Never will you be dealt with unjustly in the least. So who's being referred to here? So looking at it briefly, some people that Allah is referring to is that they wanted to fight. But Allah Ta'ala told them, establish the salat, give the zakat, you can't fight. But then when the command came, these people then buckled. This is why we told us to fight. So Allah Ta'ala is rebuking some people here. Who are these people? The hadith is in Nasa'i, number 3088, Sahih Hakim in his Mustadrak, 2-66, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, and several companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was in Makkah, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were mighty when we were pagans, but when we embraced Islam, we became weak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am commanded to pardon the people. You must not raise arms. So stop in the report. So in this Sahih hadith, Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what were they saying? When we were not Muslims, we had honor. Think about that. When we were not Muslims, we had honor, meaning people respected us. When we embraced Islam, we've lost that respect. So what were they really asking? We want to show these kuffar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I've been told to overlook. No, in other words, it's not the time for this. Then Ibn Abbas said, when finally Allah the Almighty gave the command, when they migrated to Medina to fight, some then held back. Thus Allah the Almighty revealed, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Have you not turned your vision to those who were told to hold back their hands and to establish salat? Meaning hypocrisy. So let's look at this. So we know that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're mahfuz, they're protected. Allah Ta'ala makes sure that they die with his pleasure. So obviously it's not referring to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there were people amongst them And they were saying, we need to fight. Now look how ironic. At that point, it was detrimental to fight. You're not in a position to fight. When they were given their own homeland in Al-Madinah and Allah Ta'ala revealed the command to fight, these same people, they went, why have you told us to fight? So Allah Ta'ala then says, look at the whole verse. They said, why don't you give us a natural term? Meaning, why can't we just live our lives a normal death? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. Say, the mata of this dunya is small. Mata means temporal. Something that you use temporarily. Like a handkerchief. You know, you get disposable handkerchiefs. One word for that is mata. Allah ta'ala describes the world like that. Meaning is something that you use and you get rid of. So Allah Ta'ala goes, mata'un dunya qaleel. Not only does he say it's disposable, he goes, it's small. Then he says, wal akhiratu khayrun liman ittaqa. The hereafter is best for those who fear. Wala tuzlamuna fatila. Never will you be dealt with unjustly in the least. So now, the world's mentioned here. Now what's interesting about this? There's a very famous passage. In Surah Al-A'la, Surah 87, verse 16. So in Surah 87 verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبَقَى. Nay, you prefer the life of this world, but the hereafter is khayr and abaqa. So Allah Ta'ala is swearing an oath here. بَلْ is swearing an oath. Meaning there's something wrong with you. You prefer the life of this world. Look how strange. First you say, no, I don't. Every time you sin, you're proving that. One of the scholars said, when you sin, that proves you love the world. That's why the prophets are sinless. Because they have nothing to do with the world. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Look at the word Allah Ta'ala use, abqa. So what have we learned here? There's a hadith. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Ibn Hibban number 709, and it's Sahih in Sahih al-Targhim number 3247. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves his worldly life will suffer in his hereafter. And whoever loves his hereafter will suffer in his worldly life. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. Therefore choose that which is everlasting over that which is temporal. Look how beautifully the Prophet explained it in this Sahih Hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, if you love your worldly life, you are harming your hereafter. If you love your hereafter, you are harming your worldly life. Meaning they don't go together. Then look at the words he used. Now this is very important. He's using Quranic terms, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى. فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى. Why did he use that term? يَبْقَى. What does the Quran say? وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. The hereafter is permanent, is everlasting, does not end. So the Prophet said, فَآثِرُوا مَا يَبْقَى. Prefer the permanent, the enduring, the everlasting, عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى, over that which is temporal. The scholars, they give very interesting analogies. They say that no matter how huge the number you can think of, compared to eternity, it's nothing. Isn't that true? Somebody goes, eternity, any number can be equated. It can't be. You can't fractionalize eternity. There's no such thing as a quarter of eternity. Doesn't make sense, right? A hundredth of eternity. The scholars said, this is what Allah Ta'ala is saying in this verse. He goes, why are you choosing the hayat of this dunya over abqa? So mathematically, you go to a mathematician, even he will tell you, he goes, look, you can go to blue in the face. You can't think of a big enough number that can equate to eternity. And that is what dunya is over akhirat. So Allah Ta'ala is hammering that point through. He's saying, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Why are you preferring the life of this world over something which is eternal? meaning that you're not thinking straight. So why have I mentioned this here? Because what does Allah Ta'ala say at the end of the verse that we're going through? He says, short is the enjoyment of this world. The hereafter is best for those who fear. Never will you be dealt with unjustly. Meaning, jihad does not shorten your life, which I mentioned yesterday. The Quran clearly mentions that those who were destined to die would have died in their beds. This is our belief. Hamza radiallahu anhu couldn't live for 1 second more, even if he didn't go onto the battlefield of Uhud. Mus'ab ibn Umair could not have lived a second more, even if he didn't go onto the battlefield of Uhud. Ja'far ibn Abu Talib could not have lived a second more, even if he didn't go and fight the Romans at Mu'tah. And you can go on and on. Why is that important to highlight? Allah Ta'ala is telling you that it doesn't shorten your life. But there's a very interesting report. In Kanzul Umal, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, jihad is the shortcut to paradise. Now think about it. Somebody goes to you, look, I want to make a quick book. You've heard that many times, isn't it, mashallah, right? And you get people like this, very, very quick in making money. They know what to do. But then you get those spiritual billionaires. They know how to make a quick book. Allah Ta'ala himself has told you one of the shortcuts. And that's jihad. Think about it. So really, Allah Ta'ala, your life hasn't been shortened, but he does mention a secret. Because if you want to go quickly to paradise, this is the way. So to mention this to finish. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, one of the 10 from his paradise, radiallahu. He was the last of the 10 to pass away. Think about that. There was 10 glorious men from his paradise. Mutawatir hadith in Tirmidhi. Abu Bakr, all the way up to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. The first of the 10 to pass away to Firdaus was Abu Bakr. If I was to ask you, out of these 10, does it make any difference how long they live? No. In fact, it's better if they pass away quick because they're going to Firdaus. It doesn't really matter how long they live. Abu Bakr was the first to go because he was the best. Who was the last? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. He had to wait. And look what he said on his deathbed, something amazing. He said to one of his family members, get me that container. And they had this container and he brought it. He opened it and there was a jubba in there, a shirt. So they looked at it, he goes, Father, what is this shirt that you've kept and looked after for so long? He goes, this is the shirt that I fought on the day of Badr. Right? How many years did he live after Badr? He lived into Muawiyah's Khalifat, radiallahu. So Badr, another 10 years after that, our beloved messenger passes away. Add 30 years to that, Khilafah, 40 years. Add another 15 years, 55 years he lived after this. He kept that shirt for 55 years. And he goes, when I meet my Lord, I want to meet him with this shirt. But then he remembered his brother, and he wept. Because my brother was better than me. So who was his brother? Umair ibn Abi Waqas. Umair ibn Abi Waqas, he goes, he also fought in Badr and he was martyred. He goes, he was only 16 years old and the Prophet was turning him away first, but then he begged and begged and the Prophet goes, okay, you can come. And then what was Sa'd really saying between the lines? He goes, I had to wait 55 years after my brother, but at least I still got the shirt to prove that I was there at Badr. So it doesn't matter how long you live. It's the ultimate end state. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased with you, you want to go. If we were told now that Allah Ta'ala is pleased, you want to stay and risk it. But you want to go. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you that this is where you can, you know, relax. That's the place to relax. Are you paradise? And not Allah Ta'ala says you will not be dealt with unjustly. So Allah said the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا الذين آمنوا يقاتلون في سبيل الله والذين كفروا يقاتلون في سبيل الطاغوت فقاتلوا أولياء الشيطان إن كيد الشيطان كان ضعيفا ألم تر إلى الذين قيل لهم كفوا أيديكم وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فلما كتب عليهم القتال إذا فريق منهم يخشون الناس كخشية الله أو أشد خشية وقالوا ربنا لما كتبت علينا القتال لولا أخرتنا إلى أجل قريب قل متاع الدنيا قليل والآخرة خير لمن اتقى ولا تظلمون فتيلا. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr, barakallahu alayhi.